Find yourself too busy, stressed out, and unfulfilled? Know what you are supposed to do, but have no idea how to fit it all in? Doesn't have to be that way. Welcome to Seamless Life with Alan Vaisberg, a program that shows you how to do all the things you know you're supposed to do. Listen live, call in, and allow us to help you make your life seamless.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to Seamless Life. I'm your host, Alan Vaisberg. What the news did not mention is today is Earth Day, so let's celebrate by turning up... No. Let's not turn off the radio and shut down the power. Earth Day is a wonderful occasion. I think, if I'm not mistaken, this is the 45th anniversary of Earth Day. So lots to celebrate with our beloved Mother Earth. Please treat her right. What we're going to be talking about tonight, and we're changing the format just a little bit to accommodate more time for one of my favorite guests, Mark Anthony, is coming on after the first segment, and he's staying on for three segments instead of the regular two. We have lots to discuss. He just released a new book called Evidence of Eternity, Communicating with Spirit for Proof of Afterlife. So we'll talk to him about the book, about his experience. He's an incredible medium. And many, many very interesting topics to discuss. So stay with us as we go through the program. In this first segment, I just wanted to share with you some of my personal experiences. I am a medium as well. I am not a practicing medium like Mark is. It's just a part of who I am. And I've developed the abilities over the years. I feel comfortable with them. And when we're talking about the evidence, for me, evidence is fun, but it's not necessary because I believe in it so deeply. It is ingrained in who I am. This is how I am, where I wouldn't be able to have a seamless life, or there wouldn't even be seamless for that matter, if it was not for my communication with my beloved guides and angels and spirit guides that are on the other side, so to speak. So for me, it is a natural part of life. There is so much information that I've gained from communicating with them. I don't know what I would be without them. I can't imagine myself in any other way. But how did all of that start? We can say that I kind of came into the world this way, and for a part of the truth or a part of that statement that actually is true. Because I knew I was different from as early as I could remember. And I heard voices at night and they freaked me out. And I had a hard time falling asleep. I had nightmares and there were lots of things that were going on. But I didn't really start believing fully into my own abilities until I went to a class of a local wonderful psychic. His name is Mel Dorr. I've had the pleasure of interviewing Mel on the radio show as well. And what Mel did in his psychic class is he basically set us in a circle. Had us reach into a hat and take out a piece of paper. That piece of paper was folded many, many, many times over until it was a tiny, white piece of paper, so you couldn't see what's in it. You could not unfold it. But what you had to do was basically take it in your hands, close your eyes, see what you see that's associated with that particular piece of paper and what's written on it. And then write down your thoughts and your feelings and whatever it is that came to you at that time. So I'm sitting there, there are lots of other people in the audience or in the group, so to speak. I reach in, I grab the piece of paper, and I'm thinking, well, I'm psychic, I have these gifts, so I should be able to see something. And nothing is coming. Absolutely nothing is coming. And then I started getting really anxious and I started getting upset and with myself. And then I say, you know what? Screw it. As soon as I said, screw it, something opened up. And all of a sudden, my eyes were closed at that time. I felt like something was running down my left cheek. And to my horror, I realized that it was blood. I immediately opened my eyes and no, it's not me. I closed my eyes and I see that there is blood running down my cheek. I sense that I'm inside a man who is in a bad shape, who's going to be probably departing sometime soon. I see the killers, because they are the people who did that. I see the killers walking towards him with a shovel. By the way, I'm very sorry for some of the graphic details. I hope I'm not interrupting anybody's dinner. I see that the person is laying in a marsh area. It's dark, and you know, after a little while, I see that that shovel gets raised, and there is a hit, and the lights go out. The person is dead. Then I see these two men walking towards you know, a small house to the right. I get out of that state somewhat terrified, because that's not at all what I was hoping for or expecting. And write down all of the things and all of the feelings and details that I had. Now, after, you know, 10, 15 minutes, whatever it the time allowed, Mel took everybody's papers, and then people, you know, went around the circle telling what they saw. Then he revealed what was on the pieces of paper. On some of them, there was nothing. On some of them were Disney characters. And on four of them, if I'm not mistaken, were murder cases that he's working on. And he's working with police and FBI. That's a part of what he does. And mine happened to be one of those cases that he was working on. They did find a, sorry, dismembered body of a man in a marsh area. They knew that he died from a blunt hit to the head. They did not know what it was from. And I specifically said it was a shovel because I saw the damn thing. So that moment, I knew a couple of things. Number one, I never wanted to do that again. So I did not want to be involved in murder cases. And number two, there is something to this. And it's not me inventing it. I had no idea we were going to get anything like that. I did not know about you know, cases that he was working on. All of a sudden, that information came. It was information that, you know, came true, astonishingly enough. So I knew that there was something more to it, and it was not just my beliefs. Then I had a number of other experiences with, you know, communication. My grandfather came to me, and I could basically feel him inside my body, you know, looking at my bride-to-be and approving before he left. It was a very loving experience, completely unexpected by me. So I had these things, and then I was privileged enough to be invited to the Advanced Mediumship course with Lisa Williams. That was last year here in Chicago. And that took my belief to a level that, you know, I would no longer doubt at all, because what she put us through, and Lisa is incredible at making sure that you have no other choice. You have to surrender, you have to work, and that's the way it is. She would bring people from the street that we'd never met. She would line them up. She would put us in blindfolds, and we have to you know, tell these people what's going on with them. Or she would have us, you know, go and do 40-second essentially readings, one from one from one of these people. And I would go to a person who I've never met in my life, and all of a sudden I see that they have two illnesses come to mind. And I am trying to pick which illness, because it can't be two. And I'm not supposed to be picking. I'm supposed to say whatever comes to mind. And I say that. I say those two illnesses. And to my surprise, the person says, "You're correct. You know, I have them both." Things like that. Or doing a reading for a person and saying something that seems so outrageous, talking about, you know, her particular room, which I saw, and talking about her, you know, father who's in the spirit, or grandfather at this point, I don't remember, coming in, or actually it seems like it's a mother, coming in, and the mother from the other side would tell me that she's coming in on the ray of light, and her daughter actually feels her. So I say that the daughter bursts in tears, because she says that the way she knows that her mother is there, she always keeps the window open, and she sees her sometimes in the in these rays of light. This type of information is unbelievable to anybody who doesn't believe that. It's also showing to me that there is zero chance that I could ever even imagine something like that. That's not the way that I am thinking. It comes from somewhere. It comes from the other side, if you want to call it that way. It comes from your guides, from the ones who are in spirit. I would be sitting down having dinner with a woman and had no intention of doing any readings for her. And then she would mention something about the way that she was growing up and her father and what he was doing and what he was thinking. Her father is in spirit. And all of a sudden, her father comes to me and says, that's not exactly what happened, and gives me the rest of the story. And I would, very politely ask the woman if she wanted to hear. She agreed, so I would tell her. Then I ask in my mind, the father for his name. He would give me his name. Then I would be chicken, not, saying the name because I was worried that it wouldn't be correct. Then throughout the conversation, I worked it in. And absolutely, that was the name that I've gotten. Now, it's an ability. It's an ability that I believe all of us have. Angels, guides, your loved ones, those that have, passed over, extraterrestrials, they all want to communicate. They all want to communicate. They all want to share. They all want you to have a happier existence. We believe it. We don't believe it. That's really up to us. But they're always talking. I'm going to read a very quick poem. I'm also a certified Oracle card reader. And when I started reading cards, many friends put up their guards, not believing that through them I can hear angelic realm. People think that just a few, certainly not me or you, truly meant to understand. All the others just pretend. They say cards are all generic and they're way too esoteric. Why would angels choose to speak through a medium so weak? Truth be told, they do not care. That's because they're always there. And whatever way you choose, that's the method they will use. Whether it is cards or movies, horoscopes or fortune cookies. This is the second time that it happens to me. I need to do better in terms of my timing. I will post that poem and the rest of it onto Facebook. Please stay with us. We'll be right back after the break with Mark Anthony, the psychic flyer.
Free your mind. Expand your soul. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Imagine receiving healing, vibration-raising energy as you listen to the radio. Energy that flows effortlessly to you. Imagine exploring all things metaphysical, sharing in an ongoing adventure. Join me, Karen Smoot, along with my co-hosts Lisa Victorson and Wendy Weber for Immersion into Source every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Om Radio.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. Om Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single Om Times endeavor. Host your show with Om Times Radio Network. Simone Millicis would like you to know that business can be fun, which is why she wrote the book, Joy of Business. What if you could have the joy of business rather than the stress and struggle? Most of the time, the only thing stopping you from a thriving business is you. In the Joy of Business book, Simone gives you access consciousness tools and pragmatic ways to get out of your own way and to create the business, life, and living you know is possible and beyond what this reality says is achievable. Business is joy. It's creation. It's generative. It can be the adventure of living. You can purchase your copy of the book through Amazon or Joy of Business website, www.accessjoyofbusiness.com.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth Radio is conscious living for your soul every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Welcome back, everybody, to Seamless Life. I'm your host, Ellen Weisberg, and thank you for staying with us. In a moment, I'm going to bring on one of my favorite guests, Mark Anthony, to the show. I have to share that I've been on the radio on 5 different networks now for over 2.5 years, and there has been one constant. And that one constant who's always been on every one of my shows has been Mark Anthony, the psychic lawyer. Mark is a practicing medium who doesn't just communicate with spirits. He's also a very successful attorney. He is licensed to practice law in Florida, D.C., and also before the Supreme Court of the United States of America. He graduated from Mercer Law School with honors, I think, and included study at Oxford University in England. He studied mediumship in England at Arthur Findlay College for the Advancement of Psychic Science. He's a published author and a best-selling author of Never Letting Go, another wonderful book of his. His new groundbreaking book, Evidence of Eternity, which he was so kind to send to me without me even asking about it. I love that about Mark. I had a chance to peruse the book. I'm looking forward to reading it. And I wanted to bring on Mark to speak about it because there are so many interesting topics that are worthy of conversation. So without further ado, allow me to welcome yet again to the new station, Mark Anthony, the Psychic Lawyer.
Thank you, Alan, and congratulations on the new station.
Thank you very much. I'm so happy to be a part of Om Times Radio. It feels home. I finally found a home after 4 different tries.
So Om is now home. That's
exactly.
Great. That's great. And yeah, it's an awesome radio network. So to all the listeners, thank you for tuning in tonight to Alan's show.
Well, thank you, Mark. All right. Well, I want to jump into it because there are so many questions I wanted to ask you. So this new book that you just released, and I just read that they're doing a second printing of it because they ran out. They sold out so quickly. Is that correct?
Yes. Evidence of Eternity, my new book, was released on March 8th. Mm-hmm. And by St. Patrick's Day, not even 10 days later, the publisher was completely sold out. They went to a second and even larger printing, and I understand they're getting ready to go into a third printing.
Very nice.
It's just so humbling and so overwhelming that how this book is resonating with so many people. And to everyone who's read it and to the listeners who've read it, thank you so very much.
Well, thank you, Mark. You're very gracious, and thank you again for sending me the book and with a nice message inside of it. I appreciate it.
It was my pleasure.
So let's dive in. What makes this book different from the previous book that you wrote, Never Letting Go?
Never Letting Go is a guide on the journey through grief, and it explains how spirits reach out from the other side to help us heal. And it teaches people to recognize when their loved ones in spirit are around them. And it has been recommended by grief therapists and hospice organizations the world over on helping people get through grief. And while I was on the Never Letting Go book tour, Alan, people started asking me a lot of very profound questions about crime, homicide, how that reconciles with the other side, suicide, do animals have souls, what happens when we die, how does spirit communication work, is there a scientific basis for this? So I started compiling the questions, and no matter where I went, whether it was Boston or Texas or Georgia or California, I mean, people were asking the same type of questions. And what I wanted to do was write a book which is vastly different than anything any other medium has written. And it brings spirit communication into the 21st century with a new understanding of how spirit communication works based on sound scientific principles, theoretical physics, human physiology, and evidence. And so this is not an airy-fairy woo-hoo book. This explains how this works and why it's real.
Perfect. And you are psychic. And just to confirm that, you basically took my questions that I was going to be asking you later down the road, and you included them in your original answer. So
I guess force of habit or psychic intuition.
Very, very nice. Well, we're going to dive in. So you said that this brings it into the 21st century. What do you mean by that?
Our understanding of spirit communication really was refined in the Victorian era, in the 1850s and 1860s. And the reason for that is that spiritualism as a phenomenon and as a religion developed simultaneously in both the United States and in the United Kingdom, in Britain. And that's why terms like mediumship, referring to the person receiving the medium, the mediumistic messages as a sitter, and terms like clairvoyance and clairaudience and clairsentience, and the understanding of spirit communication pretty much got stuck in and mired in the middle of the 19th century. Well, at that time, the idea of telecommunications was certainly unheard of. And even at that time, the idea of radio communications and radio waves was still at best a theory. By 1900, radios had been invented and the first transatlantic radio communications were happening. Well, in the past century and a half, we have come eons in our understanding of energy transfer, frequency, telecommunications, human physiology, and now string theory, which in its, I'll give you the Cliff Notes version. Mm-hmm. The string theorists in physics believe that there's not a universe, but there are multiverses, several mm-hmm. different dimensions and frequencies. So drawing upon all of that, in addition to near-death experience studies, which started in earnest in the 1970s, and with my own evidence, evidential studies and research, I redefined mediumship in 21st century terms. And I've developed new terminology to explain the phenomenon and how messages when transmitted by a spirit through energy transfers can be interpreted, and the similarity between spirit communication and radios and frequency.
Well, I guess I know why I'm in radio. It's so close to the other things that I like doing.
Well, the way I like to describe it is communication with the other side. Let's call our world AM radio and the other side FM radio.
Yep.
Now, AM and FM both use frequency and amplitude. They both use vibration and energy and radio waves. And they both utilize the electromagnetic spectrum, because within the electromagnetic spectrum, you've got X-rays, gamma rays, microwaves. You've got ultraviolet light. You've got visible light, which is a very, very small part of the electromagnetic spectrum. And they all coexist and they all run parallel to each other. So both AM and FM use frequency and vibration. So in our world, we're at a lower frequency and the other side's at a higher frequency. Well, when it comes to a frequency match, those of us in the material world have to increase our frequency and our amplitude, and those on the other side bring theirs down. In other words, there's now an overlap between the AM and the FM. And the reason I like to use that analogy is, let's say you're driving down the street listening to your favorite radio station on the radio in your car, and all of a sudden another station overlaps it. And I found this when I was driving on the interstate, because I used to go from my office, I had to go to court, and I had to take the interstate. And even though I pretty much always listened to FM radio, there was an AM radio station right along the interstate. And every time I would pass it, all of a sudden there would be an overlap. And then I realized, oh my gosh, It's the same in the spirit world. And the more I did research on that, I began to find things to substantiate that.
Very, very cool. So you've mentioned something in the, again, that happens to be my question, because my wife and I were having a discussion. We just adopted a dog recently. We love him. I absolutely think that he has a soul, and I have no doubts about that. That being said, some of the people that we've spoken with said, no, dogs don't have souls. It's a different type of, framework, if you will. And that's one of my questions. If not for myself, then for my wife, do animals have souls?
Without a doubt. Mm-hmm. Without a doubt. In fact, recently, Pope Francis said that we'll be reunited with our beloved pets in heaven. So it's not just me that is saying that there are now major spiritual leaders. And quite frankly, if you don't believe an animal has a soul, look in the eyes. Exactly. Look into the eyes of an animal that loves you and that has gratitude. And it's more than just that. It's I've conducted thousands of readings where I communicate with spirits of loved ones, and animals come through all the time. In fact, today I was doing a reading for a really, really sweet, sweet young lady, and the first spirit that came through was the spirit of a dog, and I described it. She goes, "No, no, no." And then 20 minutes later, she goes, "You know that dog you were talking about before?" I said, "Yeah." When I was a teenager, I had a dog that matched that description who died. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, yeah, that's why the dog came through. Mm-hmm. And it brought her to tears because she loved the dog. And it's interesting when I go to a reading, people think that just because somebody they loved, whether it's human or animal, died many years ago, that somehow that makes it more difficult for them to communicate. And that's certainly not the case. And I remember, you know, because I'm a kind of a woodsy guy. I like the outdoors and I like animals. The first time I encountered a giraffe, and it was really cool because I got to feed her, and she comes up, you know, and I was nervous because this thing's huge, you know, and I know that they're vegetarians, but this thing's huge. And she leaned over, and they got this tongue that just like whoosh, comes out. She grabbed this chunk of lettuce that I had and started eating it. And then she came close, and I could pet her snout. And when she looked at me with those big, beautiful brown eyes that they have, it melted my heart. And I just saw so much love in this being's eyes. And any animal, any being capable of the emotion of love is capable of spirit communication.
That's perfect. I know we're about to go to a break, but I wanted to start on the question. On the animal side, I've had this discussion with people as well, and I wanted to know what your experience has been. A soul can reincarnate as an animal. Can they become a human after that? Can they go back to an animal? That's the question that I want to tackle once we come back from a break. Please stay with us, everybody. We'll be right back.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. Om Times.
Hi, this is Angela Levesque, host of Entanglement Radio. Join me Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Eastern for inspiring conversations with visionaries in spiritual science and conscious healing. Entanglement Radio, Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Eastern. Transcendent talk for the conscious mind.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
The truth is, you can't change the world if you're broke. I know, I tried. Isn't it time you turned your life's calling into a profitable, freedom-based business? I'm Michelle Barr. Join me every Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern for Sacred Success.
Feed your soul with Waves of Consciousness on OM Times Radio.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Anthony, the psychic lawyer, about what's happening on the other side, and not just the other side of the world. What's happening on the other side, where the spirit world lives? Although I don't like the way that that sounds, because the spirit world lives here as well. We're just occupying the same space and not realizing it for the most part. Before we went on a break, I asked Mark a question and that I wanted to follow up on. As souls, it is my belief, and tell me what yours is, that a soul can incarnate as a human. We can incarnate as a different species And we can come back as an animal if we choose to. Now, many of us don't choose to because it's a different type of a life and we have other things that we'd like to try. But it is possible for somebody to go and be a, I don't want to say lower species, but a different species. Is that possible? What have you encountered? What are your thoughts on it?
It depends on who you talk to in the realm of reincarnation. For the record, I do believe in reincarnation. But I don't believe in the transmigration of souls. In other words, I don't believe that in this life I'm a person, next life I'll be a bird, or in the life after that I'll be a shark or whatever. And the Hindus, Hinduism and the Buddhism, Hindus and Buddhists believe very much in reincarnation. And I was reading something the other day that more people now in the world believe in reincarnation than people who don't. And it's not just in Asia anymore. Now it's spreading to Western Europe, or to Europe in general, and to North and South America as well. My experience communicating with spirits is that you go from being a human to a human to a human, and animals go from, being an animal to an animal to the same species, so that there isn't a transmigration of souls. Now, of course, there's people who disagree with me, and that's fine, because we're just now beginning to understand reincarnation on a more objective and empirical level. The reason that I say that, Alan, is in the realm of near-death experience studies, and for the benefit of the listeners, near-death experience is when somebody dies and their consciousness separates from their body. They have a floating feeling. They see a tunnel with a white light, and they go into the tunnel, and then they see deceased relatives and friends who greet them. And then if they go farther into the near-death experience, into the experience, they go deeper into the light and encounter this incredible intelligence, which everybody refers to as God. And the reason they call it a near-death experience is because those people come back and they're resuscitated. One of and these studies have not just been conducted in the U.S. They were conducted all over the world: Canada, the U.K., France, Holland, Italy, Russia, India, Japan, South Africa, and Australia, just to name a few places that they have been studied. Everybody that has near-death experience, or practically everybody, comes out of it believing in reincarnation. And they also say that they encounter animals that they have loved who are over there as well. Mm-hmm. And based on the discussions I've had with the leading near-death experience researchers in the world, all of whom have endorsed evidence of eternity, it does not appear that transmigration of souls, where you go from being a human to another species, is the case. So that's been my experience and my observation.
No, and thank you for answering that. And the reason why I have my perspective is not evidential or evidentiary in any way. It's more of a kind of an understanding that if I, as a soul, I can choose to come back as a human, or I can choose to come back as a different planetary being. So if I have that ability, because I know that I've had lives being not in a human form, so if I have that ability, what stops me from coming back as a quote-unquote lower form? And that's why I thought that that should be possible.
But, I don't know if you ever saw that TV show, My Name is Earl, and it was a really great comedy, and I still love watching it. And he and his brother were sitting there, and his brother goes, "If you could be an animal, what would you be? I'd want to be an eagle." and Earl he says, "Well, I like to stay inside and lay on couches. So I want to be a dog, because most people have dogs, let them stay inside and lay on the couch."
Everybody has their opinion. Speaking of evidence, because old times obviously is a beautiful network of people who are much more open to things like this. But for people who are skeptical, who are saying that all of this is nonsense, I know I believe, because I was able to pull information from who knows where about things that I didn't know before, and they turned out to be right. How do you prove those people wrong? And prove is probably the wrong word, because they're not going to believe it anyway. But what evidence, I guess, have we found that they can use to be more open-minded about it?
For those who believe, no proof is necessary. For those who do not want to believe, no proof may be possible. You're always going to have closed-minded people. And there's a difference between a skeptic and a debunker. There's a lot of debunkers that run around saying they're skeptics. What a skeptic is, a skeptic to me is like an agnostic, someone that says, I don't believe in God, but I'm open to the possibility. A skeptic is someone who says, well, I don't necessarily believe that, but I'd like to see some proof. A debunker is, if you believe in God or the afterlife, you're delusional and all mediums and psychics are charlatans, and because I don't understand something, it doesn't exist. Okay. And it's funny because there's these organizations that pride themselves on being skeptical but basically they're just closed-minded people who like to hang out together. And that's fine if, you know, they've created their own religion of atheism, which is a belief and standing for nothing. I mean, that's been my experience with those folks. Now, what type of proof is necessary? Well, in two areas, actually more than that, but in near-death experiences, Dr. Kenneth Ring, who wrote the foreword to my book, an incredibly intelligent man, professor emeritus at University of Connecticut, when people have a near-death experience and they cross into the light and they go through the tunnel and they encounter the deceased loved ones and so on and so forth, the debunkers start jumping into this saying that is a phenomenon of a dying brain.
Right.
So Dr. Ring got tired of hearing that. So what he did is he then conducted studies of people who've been blind since birth who had near-death experiences. And all of them talked about visual things, things that they had never experienced when they were alive. They said, now I know what it is like to see. They described things that they could only say must be color. And for example, there was a number of people who were in an operating room, because you don't have to have a near-death experience in a surgical setting. You can have it from drowning or getting shot or you know, trauma or car accident. But there were several of them who, when they separated from their body, described how many people were in the operating room, what they looked like, what their hair was like, and the fact that there was dust on the top of the light fixtures as they floated above that. And the conclusion is, if this is the side effect or part of what a dying brain is going through, then how is it that the brain is now drawing upon things that were never in it in the first place?
Right.
So if somebody was and I've worked with blind people and I've asked them, well, how do you dream? What do you dream? Because you and I dream visually. I mean, you know, we hear things and you get sensations, but dreams tend to be highly visible. And I worked with this paralegal. She was blind, and I've talked to other blind people too, and I've asked them that. They said their dreams involve emotions, sensations, smells, everything except visual. All right. Now Dr. Ring took that even further. And if this were the phenomenon of a dying brain, then the dying brain would have a near-death experience in a non-visual sense. Yeah. So that, you know, torpedoes a lot of that debunking mentality. Now, in evidential mediumship, when I conduct a reading for a person, it's very clear on my website and in my books and in all my materials that I don't want to know anything about anyone ahead of time, because I don't want the reading tainted by anything that I know. So things will come to me and I will describe them. And I'm going to give two examples. I was doing a reading for this lady last year. The reason I give this example, because this one really cracked me up. And during the reading, her husband came through and I described him and what he died from and what he looked like. And then I said, this is going to sound weird, but he's talking about an octopus. You know, that's an odd thing to come through. Mm-hmm. And And she goes, oh, my gosh. I go, what? She said, well, we used to live in Belize, and we lived on a canal overlooking, you know, a canal that led into the ocean. And we used to catch lobsters, and we put them in this pool. It was like a little, you know, saltwater pool right next to the canal. And one morning, my husband and I came out with our coffees, and we looked, and we were like, oh, my God, an octopus had climbed up out of the canal and was grabbing their lobsters.
Wow.
And she said, do you think that's what he's talking about? And I said, well, unless you have another octopus story, I'm kind of thinking, yeah. You know, we were laughing. And she goes, well, that's the only octopus story I've got. Now, octopus, really? You know, if I just said, oh, your grandmother's here and she loves you. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, you know, everybody's grandmother loved them. I mean, at least in most instances. And then something happened yesterday, which was startling. I was doing a telephone reading for this woman, and during the reading, all of a sudden I saw a Pepsi bottle, and I said, I'm seeing a bottle of Pepsi Cola. Now, I did not know anything about this client when I was doing the reading, and she said to me, she goes, my goodness, she said, I used to work for Pepsi Cola. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, cool, you know. So I'm like, all right, fantastic. Yeah. Well, I get an email from her this morning, and she said, you're not going to believe this. And then she goes, well, maybe you will. But when you talk about Pepsi Cola, you know, we were all excited because I used to work for Pepsi. So I figured I wanted to share that with my best friend who worked at Pepsi with me. And I called him and I talked to his wife. He died yesterday.
Yeah, I thought I was going there.
During the reading, that comes in and she says, I'll bet that was him just sort of popping in. And that is not an unusual thing to happen. Yeah. Because, you know, when skeptics or debunkers say, oh, you guys are just cold reading and you're making stuff up. All right, yeah, I could say Pepsi Cola. Mm-hmm. But it not only did she work there, but her best friend who worked with her died at the same time we were conducting the reading. Yeah. I don't believe in coincidences, Alan. I believe that everything happens for a reason. And everything that we do and everything that we experience happens for a reason. I simply no longer believe in the happen chance of coincidence.
I completely agree with you. And I'm glad that you brought up that, you know, somebody popped in and said hello, because I want to take it in that way when we come back from the break. Everybody, please stay with us. We'll be right back with Mark Absolute, the psychic lawyer.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hi, this is Angela Levesque, host of Entanglement Radio. Join me Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Eastern for inspiring conversations with visionaries in spiritual science and conscious healing. Entanglement Radio, Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Eastern. Transcendent talk for the conscious mind.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community. Simone Milicis would like you to know that business can be fun, which is why she wrote the book, Joy of Business. What if you could have the joy of business rather than the stress and struggle? Most of the time, the only thing stopping you from a thriving business is you. In the Joy of Business book, Simone gives you access consciousness tools and pragmatic ways to get out of your own way and to create the business, life, and living you know is possible and beyond what this reality says is achievable. Business is joy. It's creation. It's generative. It can be the adventure of living. You can purchase your copy of the book through Amazon or Joy of Business website, www.accessjoyofbusiness.com. Join Elliot Jolish, the business therapist, each Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern for the Elliot Jolish Hour, as he interviews business experts on your behalf. And you're invited to email your business questions to questions@ecjgroup.com for answers, live, on air, every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on the Elliot Jolish Hour. Bringing you the best of the conscious minds in the world. OM Times Radio. Your conscious lifestyle on steroids.
Welcome back to Seamless Life with Ellen Vaisberg. We're having so much fun speaking with Mark Anthony, the psychic lawyer. And I wanted to pop into that example that you just brought up with a person just passing away and coming in and saying hello with a Pepsi bottle. That's very, very quick. And I know that for some people, they feel their loved ones around them. You know, I had my grandfather that I feel on occasion. But what about on the other hand? I know some people really want to feel those that passed, but they don't. Is there a reason for that?
Yes, I do believe that there's a reason for that. First mm-hmm. off, spirits can communicate right away after leaving their body. And I know that there's a lot of mediums out there that give all these unsubstantiated reasons and, oh, they have to go through a period of orientation and all this sort of thing. But to me, that, with all due respect to my colleagues, that's a bunch of superstitious nonsense. Spirits are pure energy. Right. And once the body ceases to function and that energy is released, they are capable of communicating with us. Also, because they're pure energy, they're moving at light speed, and their development and adjustment to the other side is at an extremely accelerated rate. Mm-hmm. Also, once they're freed from the limitations of the human brain, the human mind, the pure consciousness is a complete awareness, so they're aware of the infinity that is the other side. It's not unusual after the death of a loved one for people to report feeling their presence, mm-hmm. seeing them maybe out of their peripheral vision, or maybe seeing them full on, smelling a familiar scent associated with them. In my book, Never Letting Go, I discuss that in great detail. And in Evidence of Eternity, my new book, I explain how this happens and why this happens. Now, the reason that some people see deceased loved ones right after a passing is spirit communication is an emotional activity. Mm-hmm. So to make it simplistic, the left brain, that's our logical, analytical side of our brain, tends to block those things. And your right brain, which is your emotion, your creativity, your, you know, your joie de vivre, if you will, mm-hmm. a part of your brain takes over almost completely after the death of a loved one, because you're devastated and you're so entirely emotional. And so then you become very sensitive, not just emotionally, but also to frequency and vibration. Ergo, it's very easy to pick up on loved ones in spirit. Yeah. For people who don't feel a loved one after the passing, what I've seen is that people who are overcome not just with emotion, but with anger, pain, resentment, and then they desire the contact. I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this. They're setting up a negative energy barrier. And the I want, I want, I want is energetically similar to I don't want, I don't want, I don't want. Yep. It's all angst and desire. And the fact of the matter is, the people that are devastated and they want this contact, they're not getting it. They're not. For the listeners who are tuned in, you're not doing anything wrong. It's a very normal emotional human response. And so unintentionally, you're setting up a negative energy barrier. Yep. And so what I try to instruct people to do is to instead of trying to sleep at night going, why don't you come to me in my dreams? I want this. Instead, refocus the energy to, I invite you into my dreams. I welcome you to come to me. So turn the angst into, instead of a block, into a receptive mode. And I've seen with a lot of people, within maybe a couple weeks, things start changing and they start reporting to me, oh my gosh, now I'm seeing my mother or my cousin or my spouse in my dreams. And, you know, realize that grieving is something everybody's going to have to go through at some point.
Right.
And so you're not doing anything wrong by desiring and wanting that contact. You just have to make sure that you're not blocking the contact.
No, it makes perfect sense. And as we were talking, you know, I have voices in my head. Yes, I have voices in my head. I hear, you know, entities are saying, but we are coming in. We are trying to do things. They're just not, seeing it, and we're using other methods of trying to communicate with them in terms of, the favorite music playing, something in the magazine that they're reading, whatever it is. They're still using methods of communication. It's just some people say that I want to see them, and maybe you won't, but that doesn't mean that they're not communicating.
Well, part of spirit communication is learning to calm down.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you get emotionally charged and full of angst and stress, once again, there's that negative energy barrier. Yeah. And I was part of a study in England. It was really fascinating, Alan, because we were in a large room, and the instructor set up these special cameras that can detect heat and light signatures and orbs, energy signatures. And on the walls were a lot of TV screens. All right, for people who don't know what an orb is, when in spirit photography, if you see a ball of light, that's a spirit. And initially when a spirit comes in, they're pure energy and they appear as a ball of light. And people say, yes, but I see them in human form. That's because they're transmitting waves of frequency at you and projecting an image of themselves that you will see. But in their purest sense, they appear as a ball of light. Yeah. So the instructor said to everyone, now I want everybody here. And there was 40 mediums in the program, and I was the only American there. And I was the butt of all the anti-American jokes, of which, across the Great Pond, there are many. And the instructor said, I want everyone to sing Silent Night. So we're singing Silent. It was kind of cool because you hear it like being sung in half a dozen different languages, But everyone knows Silent Night. And so we're looking at the TV screens. We're seeing a couple orbs coming in. We're getting, oh, this is so exciting. Everybody's getting all fired up about this. And the instructor, she was from Scotland. And she was an elderly woman. Super cool. She was a great medium. I just loved her to pieces. She goes, you like that, do you? Now sing Jingle Bells. So we all start Jingle Bells. And everyone knows Jingle Bells. Oh, my gosh. Alan, all of a sudden, the screens are flooded with orbs.
Yep.
And so as part of the study, we were discussing that. And what she said is, it appears that when the energetic field is lighter and brighter, it makes it easier for spirits to connect. When it's denser and heavier. Now, Silent Night's a beautiful song, but it's a solemn song. Whereas Jingle Bells, it's just a happy, song.
Also,
and the frequency of it is higher.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the theory, is that when you create a more receptive and lighter, brighter energetic field or frequency, it's like people talk about why do psychics who foresee future events tend to only pick up on negative events or tend to pick up? And higher frequencies are harder to hear, harder to perceive in many instances. Think of a guitar. The high E string, which is, as you're holding the guitar, the one all the way on the bottom, versus the low E string, which is the thicker string on the top. The higher one's like, bing, and then the lower one's, bing. Okay, so negative events and vibrations have a denser, heavier vibration, and ergo, they're easier to pick up on. Whereas the higher frequencies, higher, lighter, brighter, require more focus, and it's a bit harder to discern those, and that too is the theory why psychics tend to pick up on negative events, and that's one of the things that I discuss in chapter one called Spiritual Situational Awareness in my new book Evidence of Eternity.
Very cool, very very interesting example. I'm giving props to myself, to my own psychic abilities, but I thought that that's what's going to happen in terms of many orbs coming in with the lighter music playing. So very cool. Another question I wanted to ask you that I've been wondering about as well is when the soul leaves the body, the soul, and I believe in reincarnation, obviously, the soul has been in many, many lives before. So when a loved one comes in and they want to speak to that, how does the soul know which one of the 578 bodies to choose in order to project to that loved one? I know the answer, but I would like for you to say.
I go into great detail in the chapter on reincarnation and evidence of eternity. Cool. And so given us the whiz bang boom version, let's say that each of the incarnations we've had on Earth is a different character from a different book, mm-hmm. and that our higher self, our pure consciousness, is the librarian who's read all the books. So while the individual characters may not necessarily recognize or know things about each other, certainly the librarian does. So even if let's say you want to talk to your Aunt Martha, who has passed and now she's reincarnated as Susie Jones, mm-hmm. You can still communicate with the higher self, yeah. of this energy, because we're actually multidimensional beings. We have a material world component and a connection, a tether to whatever it is. I call it the God force, mm-hmm. the energy that binds and unites every living thing and everything in the universe. So you can still communicate with the soul of a person, even if that person has technically reincarnated. And I'm not alone in that thinking in reincarnation. When you look to the studies that have been done, and also for thousands of years, Hindus and Buddhists have been studying and analyzing reincarnation. Hinduism is a fascinating religion. If you take because when Westerners look at it, you see all these fanciful gods and elephant god and all this sort of thing. But when you get past that, you see their understanding energy being very deep. Yeah.
Sorry, Mark, we are ending the show, unfortunately. I know you and I can talk for hours, and I look forward to the next time that you come on. Thank you again. I really appreciate it. Thanks to everybody for listening to Seamless Life. Your host, Ellen.